Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Chad Markwitz, and I'm speaking today with Michael Oliver, founder of Momentum Structural Analysis. And Michael, it's great to have you on the show for the first time as a new guest. I've been following your work for a number of years, as has Corey, and we had some mutual listeners reach out to us and say, hey, you guys should get together and introduce Michael. And the way you approach technical analysis is a little different than other people because you approach it from a momentum basis, not just a price basis. But you also have a great grasp on trading, on the macro environment. And I guess since it's your first time on the show, Michael, I'd love you to share how you got into investing, what your background is, and how you approach the markets just in a general sense.
Well, I started in the market side of, I was going to be a political philosophy professor, but I quit on that in the mid-70s. It was during the time of the great stagflation, if you recall. And I got hired by E.F. Hutton, headquarters in New York at that time, their commodity division. And head of their department, that department was also the chairman of the COMEX. And that was the year in which gold was legalized for trading in the U.S. on the COMEX, like a couple blocks from Hutton's headquarters, in fact. So I didn't know really much about markets. I knew a lot about gold, but the intricacies of markets and futures trading and so forth was, I was a novice. So I apprenticed under him for a year and a half. So I stayed a futures broker till 1992. And at that point in time, back in the early to mid 80s, I started fooling around with, instead of price charts, which I'd been trained by David Johnston on how to plot price charts and how to do routine technical analysis, I developed by hand, by the way, I wasn't using Excel back then, it was plotting things by hand. What a day. Bar charts of price in relationship to certain moving averages. And I don't mean you just lay the average on top of the price chart, but what you do is you oscillate price in its relationship to a given moving average. So, you know, how much above, let's say, this month's high and this month's low is compared to, let's say, a three-quarter moving average, something long-term. And so you'd have a bar that wouldn't show price, but it would show, you know, you're either positive on the grid or negative in relationship to the zero line being whatever that moving average is. And when you plot a momentum chart over time, just like when you plot a price chart, you see things develop, you see trends develop. But with momentum, usually you see the development before price exhibits trend change. Momentum will do it first and will warn you often that a market, even though, let's say, it's advancing in price, momentum is weakening in price, and you can measurably see it on a momentum chart. And momentum might break some clear, what we call structure. Now, what's a structure? Well, it's the same thing that price guys do when they plot a price chart. They draw trend lines or they draw floors. And so forth. So we look for the same thing, but we look for it in momentum. And we measure markets, all four major asset categories, stocks, bonds, foreign exchange, and commodities, especially emphasis on gold and silver. And we look at all these pieces moving. And to tell you the truth, I've never in my career seen such a setup situation where major asset categories are positioned for major moves. In fact, have begun those moves. And some of them in opposite directions to one another, some in sync with one another. And we argue that what's about to unfold, in fact, what's unfolding, started in early 2022 by our estimates, so at least the stock market. We called a major top in the NASDAQ 100 as of January 2022 and said, okay, this is a multi-year bear market coming. It's going to be huge. S&P, we declared same thing in February of 2022. They were about 2 to 3 months off their price highs at that point in time. We've remained bearish since. We remain bearish now. We think that the first phase that you've seen in the stock market decline is what we called, we predetermined it would be an arm wrestling type of decline. In other words, one where you get plenty of good rallies, you know, but net on balance, it's a declining process. And it has been. But it teases you with good rallies and therefore confuses people. Meanwhile, at the same time, an unusual event occurred for investors, that is, not for us. We turned bearish on T-bonds in October of 2020, so a full year before stocks, meaning we thought the price would drop, yields would rise. This is before the Fed declared they were going to raise rates starting in 2021, and they started raising in 2022. But bonds knew it in October of 2020. And so you had a phenomenon last year where traditional portfolio, you know, the 60-40 mix, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, got totally wiped out because the bonds didn't balance off the stocks. They contributed to the negativeness. In fact, they were down over 40% last year, NASDAQ down over 30, S&P down 20. So a portfolio just got decimated if you held the traditional components. Meanwhile, gold went sideways. 2021 closed to 2022 close was an unchanged year. And I think that made a statement, by the way. But what we think is coming is that the biggest bear market in certain paper assets, particularly stocks at this point, that we've ever seen, with real world consequences that are likely to be worse than 2009. And the reason we argue that is that the bull market that preceded, that is top now, was a sevenfold increase in price by the S&P from its 2009 bear low to a 2021 high. For the NASDAQ 100, the leader index, it was a 16-fold increase in price. Meanwhile, all during that time, if you want to know why it occurred, you can try to assign it to this or that corporation's wisdom or product or whatever you want. But it's, they took money to zero, cost of money, and they kept it there. And they kept it there for so long, for so many years, that investors, corporations, governments, and so forth began to get used to it, accustomed to it. They never saw any flicker the other way. And so effectively, they had an injection put in their arm that told them to sleep and relax. Everything's great. And they did. And they made a lot of malinvestments during that 11, 12-year old bull market. There's no bull market in U.S. history that had a bull move like the S&P had from 2009 to 21, or NASDAQ had. You know, we had triples. We had, I think, in 23 to 29, you had something close to a quadruple. The dot-com bubble does not compare to the dimensionality of the 2009 to 2021 bull. So we've had the biggest paper bull market in history. So when it comes unwound, and the Fed has now put their needle into it, the Fed thought, see, they helped create the fact they created the bubble with monetary policy, and now they've unwound it. And what they thought they were going to do is bust a commodity bubble. Well, in fact, there is no commodity bubble. If you look at a Bloomberg commodity index, punch one up on your screen and go back to 2008, you'll see that the bull market in Bloomberg that we just experienced, first phase of, from 2020 low, in fact, we got major bullish in 2020, October. We declared a commodity explosion was coming. Between October of 2020 and February of 2022, when the invasion occurred, Russia and Ukraine, commodities basically topped at that time, a few weeks after that invasion. So everybody wants to blame the commodity price rise on the invasion is totally wrong. The commodity's been in a corrective process since early 2022. But look at the price level of the Bloomberg. It got to 140 from a low, from a breakout point at 70. So it doubled between late 2020 and 2022. But that, even when it got to 140, it was half the price it was back in 2011 to 2008 period. So hardly were commodities back to some high prior level. They'd only doubled plus since the October 2020 upturn. So it was hardly a bubble compared to stocks or bonds. So when they punched the needle in the bubble they broke was their own bubble, the bond market bubble, the stock market bubble. And now it's coming unwound and will continue, and they won't be able to stop it. Instead, if they reverse course, which we predict, have been predicting that they would, because ultimately there's a point in this decline in those assets that will cause the Fed to go back to what they do, what they were made to do. That's namely print, 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 and support government debt market. Same is true with the ECB and the BOJ. They're in the same pot. So when they've tried to tighten, they've busted a bubble, and ours is definitely the biggest bubble. I'm talking U.S. stock market. European stock market does not have a bubble of any comparable dimensions, nor the Nikkei. In fact, there's only one index in the world, a global index, that's comparable to the U.S. bubble. It's India. We think you should watch India right now, not China, but India, for downside. Anyway, we think that's what's going on. And we think the prime beneficiary of this is going to be gold. Why? Because the central banks, when they break that which they didn't want to break, and they find out it's coming undone in ways they didn't imagine, with consequences they didn't imagine, which will hit after the fact, not ahead of the fact. The data points won't show up until the market gets clobbered again. That's when they panic and go back to what they normally do. Now, what market knows that? Gold. It knows they're going to have to go monetarily berserk once again to support the things they're built to support. Problem is, the beneficiary this time is going to be gold and silver primarily. That's our macro assessment.
Okay, Michael. Well, I appreciate you unpacking the larger, big picture, macro view. And I think that's in alignment with a lot of the guests we've had on the show over the years that, you know, just what you've seen the last few years, but really this bull market that preceded it for a dozen years from the great financial crisis to present was the longest and the steepest. So the unwind is going to have some more meat on the bones here. And everybody that's saying that we're in a new bull market in the general equities probably doesn't realize that was just the first arm wrestling match, as you put it. And we've got further to go, but you think a lot of that investor traction will eventually find its way into the precious metals. I guess just looking at the charts and looking at what you're seeing right now, when you look at how badly bonds underperformed last year, it was kind of a shock, as you mentioned. The 60-40 portfolio, I think, had its worst year in, I think, 100 years. I wonder, do you think some of that safe haven bid that would normally be in the bond market is going to find its way to the precious metals market? Or where do you think the new buying will come from in the precious metals? Will it be from generalists? Just break that down for us.
Well, I think there already has been a shift over, and that's the explanation as to why the, quote, inflation-sensitive metal, gold, had an unchanged year. And right now we're trading $100 higher than that, by the way. It closed 2021 and 2022 at about 1820s, okay? So why is it gold went unchanged last year when other assets got clobbered? Well, I think it's because smart money, the Ray Dalios of the world and other some hedge fund managers who have similar views as his, realize that what's going to happen is that the central bank is the pivotal player here. And when they shift, this time their shift is going to create more monetary stimulus, but this time it won't go into the stock market because ultimately, when the Fed pumps money, it goes where investors want it to go, not necessarily where the Fed wants it to go. So in 2008 and 9, when they pumped money, yes, it went to the stock market, but the stock market had been clobbered. S&P had been at 1570, and in March of 2009 was in the 670, okay? So it was a bargain. So when they printed money then, starting especially in 2009, and did QEs and so forth, the flow went into the stock market, and it continued there for a dozen years. This time around, smart asset managers looking around for a place to go, even if it's not going up, if it's going sideways, that's a heck of a goal. You know, I'm sure most portfolio managers would be beating their chest right now if they had an unchanged year last year. Gold was unchanged. Silver actually had a 2% up year last year. Volatile, but up. We think that the process that we've gone through the last 2 years plus in gold and silver, which is to say they peaked in mid-2020, gold went into a sideways range between above 2000 down to under 1700. It had multiple lows at about 1675, two or three of them, in fact, March 2021, August 2021, early 2022. In fact, it was one back before that even. So there were like three or four lows that you could define on a price chart that said, oh my gosh, if you go down and break through 1670, you're going to clobber and it's a bear market. So most technicians turned bearish then. We didn't. MSA said, this is a bear trap. If you blow out those lows and break the price charts, don't trust the price action. Momentum says don't trust it. Back in 2011 and 12, we were major bearish, early 2012, so about 3 months off the high. That's when gold was in the 1700, 1800, 1900 zone, last bull market peak. We turned bearish and stayed bearish to 2015, 2016. This time around, the price charts looked almost identical to the way price looked back between 2011 and 12, looked like the same kind of, quote, topping pattern. And so most price chart technicians were in love with the pattern. They thought, oh boy, history's gonna repeat itself. And so when you blew through those price chart lows at 1670, they were ranting and debating about where's it gonna go, 1100, 1200, 1400, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We said, no, it's a bear trap. In other words, you're gonna go down just enough to suck everybody into the short side, scare the longs, and then you're gonna reverse. Okay, well, it spent about 7-8 weeks down there, at most 3% below that price chart breakout. And it turned around and said, phooey, and shot right back up into the range, middle of the range, mid-1800s, 1900. In fact, in January, it got to 1950. Then it had, so in other words, the third time it approached the upper end of that price range. In fact, if you go back and look at monthly closes of gold, forget the intra-month highs, just the month-end closes. You'll see there was a peak close in 2020 at a 1976, I think it was. Then there was a peak close in 2022 at around 1959, 1960. And then we had a peak close in January of this year, like in the well up in the 1920s. So you had three peak closes all up there in the mid or so 1900s. And they sold it again early this year, drove it back down into the low 1800s. And now we've blown through that high. We're now making higher highs for the year. And we're at price levels that are rivaling the prior two peak monthly closes. We think this turn up, this upturn, the fourth upturn, is the one we defined would be the one that takes hold. And we think it's taking hold. Now, where might gold go? Well, first off, we've argued that fundamentally this is different this time because you have an asset class bubble of breakage of quantity, of size and dimensionality that we've never seen before that's going to unfold. And once investors abandon the notion of a soft landing, which many of them have hopped over to that idea because the market's gone stable since June and the October lows. The S&P's gone sort of nowhere land. You've had nice rallies, very impressive. People think it's a bottom. When they give up on that notion, you're going to have further evacuation from that large asset category. It's got to go somewhere. And as you pointed out, yes, the T-bonds didn't perform well last year. So people are a little suspicious about putting money there, but they should consider it again. Our assessment is that T-bonds, in fact, probably have bottomed. However, the upside you're likely to see out of T-bonds, which I think will be noticeable, won't be of the dimensionality you're about to see in gold. Yes, bonds will likely perform in a basing, primarily upside bias direction. And so investors will be relatively safe there for a change. Again, you know, bonds used to be an alternative to stocks. We think that'll, again, evolve. But it's not going to be dynamic in the way that gold and silver will be. Gold in the past 50 years has had three bull markets. There was one that began before it was legalized here. It started in the early 70s from $30 level, and it went up to 200 by 1975 when it was legalized here. It had reached 200. So that's like a sevenfold bull market. Then it had a 50% correction. Okay. Then from 1976 low to the 1980 bull market peak, it went from $103 to $850. So you had an eightfold bull market. Different span of years, but dimensionality eightfold. Then you began from a low in 1999, just above 250, and you went to 1920 by 2011. So a much older bull market, but what? Again, about an eightfold bull market. So 50 years, you've had three instances spaced apart. The gold's gone up seven to eightfold, measured from its prior bear market low. And yet this time, we've turned up from a bear market low in 2015 at 1,046, to be precise, intraday low. And we've only doubled at the recent high at 2070 back in March 2022 and in summer 2020. So gold's only doubled so far in this bull market. And then it entered this congestion phase, 2.5 years wide, 3 years wide almost. Now, there were also congestion phases like that in those other bull markets, particularly in the 1999 to the 2009 bull market. There was a phase in late 2007, 2008, and into 2009, where gold was basically capped off at around $1,000. It had gone from like 200 up to 1,000. And it had a brief downside rout in October 2020, where for about 1 month, gold finally joined with a weak stock market, said, oh, I'm going with you too. Well, it was only for about a month. And a gold immediately V-bottomed, it rocketed back to its highs, pull back again, third peak up around 1,000, pull back. It was the fourth attempt when gold turned back up again in early 2009 that it blew through that ceiling. We're doing the same thing now, but our ceiling is, we're at it now. This is our fourth attempt if you measure peak monthly closes. We think this one will take hold. And it wouldn't be shocking to see gold do what? The routine. What's that? Eightfold. Well, eight times a thousand is what? $8,000. People would say, that's outlandish. No, it's not. It's done it three times before. Each time it seemed more outlandish, but it was the same dimensionality, basically. But you've got to factor in this. We've got different background fundamentals now and technicals. We've got a stock market bubble we've never seen, which means consequences that are likely to scare the heck out of the central banks to the point where central banks go absolutely absolutely tabula rasa in terms of what they're going to do. They'll do anything and everything they can to protect the bond markets, even including corporate bonds, muni bonds, and stock market. Those are assets that they deem worthy of protection. They don't care about commodities. If corn can go down, they'd be happy with that. You know, they don't care about farmers or wheat or cattle or anything like that. Well, we think that during that time, the commodity correction we're now in, still in, we think it is a correction also, we'll turn back up and reassert, and you'll have another commodity leg. But don't try to correlate that to gold. Gold moves independent of commodities. Gold started from a 2015 low, and by summer of 2020, it doubled. During that same time, commodities were going down the whole time. Arm wrestling declined from 2015 through 2020. That commodities didn't turn up till gold had already made its peak in the summer of 2020, when commodities finally bottomed. Gold is a smart metal. It's monetarily based. It anticipates central bank delusions, okay? And the central bank is about to, I think, go berserk again, particularly on their balance sheet.
Well, Michael, just based on what you've mentioned there, I think you did a great job of outlining what the upside forecast could be for gold just based on those prior three times where it went up eightfold. If we see that again, I think a lot of our listeners are going to be pretty happy campers. But when you mentioned the commodities, you mentioned how undervalued they were to other asset classes. And even after that run from 2020 during the pandemic crash up to the Ukraine war high, let's say, of early 2022, it was a big move in commodities. You saw things like tin and copper and iron and just really everything surge higher. But a lot of people thought that was it. Your position is that the commodities still have a lot longer to go in relation to other asset classes. So I'd just like you to maybe wrap the show up here with how you look at the commodity sector performing in tandem with gold as these markets develop.
Yeah, I should also mention before I get to commodities, the silverite link with gold. And I think silver will outpace gold on the upside in terms of percent gain. Okay, now commodities. Bloomberg Commodity Index has dropped down now close to 101, 102, 103 area in the last week or so. You get back over 110 by much, we've got some numbers that say, okay, game on again. Okay. And if you ever get back over 130 again, now it's high in that last rally was 140. And I'm talking early 2022. Its peak close back then was 132. You ever get back even to 130 again, expect commodities to tack on another bull leg. That may even get you up in the 200s or something. Again, on its own, but we're seeing enough uniform behavior, you know, crude oil and grains and so forth, where they're all behaving the same, despite their different, quote, fundamentals. But they're all having a correction at the same time. And we think they'll all join hands again like they did in 2020, late 2020 through 2022, and all go up together again. So we think you should watch that. Now, we at MSA, we're trying to time that entry point. Right now, we say only anticipate it. Don't buy it yet. Wait for the upturn signal. And our numbers keep getting lower week by week where we get our buy trigger. Right now, it's up around 110 area. That in late March, probably be around 108 or something on the Bloomberg Commodity Index, which is a very well-balanced index. So, yeah, we think that's an interesting asset place to be because historically, they're not that expensive. Again, get a chart of Bloomberg, go back to 2008, and you'll see what I mean. But we still think that gold is likely to outperform commodities. And silver especially, outperform the commodity complex. So while commodities might be perceived by investors and commodity-related stocks, producing companies and so forth, including energy companies again, and fertilizer companies, that will be a place where when money flees the stock market, it has to go somewhere else. And we think it's going to go back into commodities when they turn up again, and ongoing into gold. And I say ongoing because gold never really broke, except for that brief break last summer. Gold's been hanging in there. I think money will flow there. So as the stock market goes down now, expect that money flow to go somewhere. And I expect it to go primarily to gold, silver, and to some extent in commodities.
Well, hey, I appreciate you breaking down the big picture macro view, how you're looking at gold, how you're looking at the commodity sector. And it sounds like the precious metals have a chance to not only outperform general equities, but also a lot of the commodity sector. So Michael, it was great having you on the show. It was great to introduce you to our audience here at the KE Report. And we're definitely going to have you back on to keep digging into your thoughts and maybe get more granular next time into some of the current events of what's going on with gold, the general equities, the commodities. So appreciate you spending some time with us here at the KE Report. And for people that like Michael's thoughts here, or maybe this is the first time they've heard him, definitely check out his website. That's www.olivermsa.com. We'll put a link to that down below. Michael, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us, and we look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you much, Chad.